Join me for a hymn sing at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's theme, Hymns of Comfort. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
This people loved by God is the sweet swap, God's great switcheroo. The Father takes the sinless Son, the Son who never said no and who always did His Father's will, and He makes Him to be sin.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of 2 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Do you remember how St. Paul began last time with a reference to knowing the fear or the terror of the Lord? He meant the horrors of facing the day of judgment apart from saving faith in Christ. And so, yes, he strove to persuade others so that when they departed this life, they'd be prepared to stand before Jesus, the judge. And he confessed that God, who knows the hearts, knows the pureness of his motivation, and he hoped the Corinthians did as well. He's not interested in appearances. He appeals to the truth in his heart. He seems to admit that he can sound a little bit crazy, a little bit off. But if so, he's crazy for God. And if he's making any sense, he's doing it for their sakes. Either way, what controls him, what rules him, is the love of Christ. And remember, that's best taken not as his love for Christ, but the love of Jesus for him, which has just blown him away. The conclusion St. Paul reached was that one died for all. That is, the one man, Christ, dies in the place of all. And so in the eyes of God, all died. And Jesus did this so that we might be set free from living for ourselves, setting up on our own, if you will, and instead come to the joy of living for Jesus. A reading from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, are you ready to ponder God's word for today? Let's get to this, verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. So what does it mean to regard according to the flesh? I think flesh here is best heard as using the perception of fallen human reason. It's quite similar to what he spoke about last time, that we walk by faith, not by sight. And so we don't merely look at outward appearances and conclude anything about anyone. We certainly do not do that with Christ. I mean, if we regarded Christ according to the flesh, we'd look upon the crucifixion and see no more than a sad, sorry end to a wonderful and shocking life. But when you regard the crucifixion from the standpoint of the Holy Spirit, you see in awe the sacrifice of the Son of God, which he offers in obedience to his Father for you. Hold that thought. We're coming back to it momentarily. But Paul didn't just deal with Christ, but we regard no one according to the flesh. That means not even ourselves. We need to learn to think of ourselves and of every other human being in a new light, the light of Christ's sacrifice and his resurrection. Hence, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. To be in Christ means being baptized into his death and resurrection. And so you need to lose the old fleshly way, even of seeing yourself. You must come to see yourself for what baptism into Christ has actually made you. You are a new creation, as spotless and perfect as the first creation was before sin entered in. Sin, in fact, is the old that has passed away. That way of setting up on your own, doing your own thing. Baptism into Jesus gives you the gift of dying to that old way. And a brand new way has come. The new way of being a child of God through faith in Jesus. St. John Chrysostom told his congregation in the 4th century, we ought to live for him because we have been made something different. We now have a new life. The old things which have passed away refer to our sins and impiety, as well as the observances of Judaism. The waters of baptism divorce you from your sin, and they give you life in Jesus, life with him, fresh and brand spanking new every day. Verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God is the source of that new perspective. That is the opposite of regarding things according to the flesh. And the God who is the source of that new perspective is the very one who reconciled us to himself through Jesus and gave us, meaning the apostles and their successors, the ministry of reconciliation, the service of reconciliation. And what does that consist of? But of announcing what no flesh born of flesh eyes could ever see or guess, that by the very cross of his Son, God reconciled the world to himself, and he did so by not counting our trespasses against us. Reconciliation here is just another way of saying forgiveness. He's forgiven us in his Son, not charging us with our sins. Hold on to that thought for a moment. And he's entrusted to us this message of reconciliation, of forgiveness. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We, meaning St. Paul, St. Timothy, and all whom God sets into the office of the ministry of reconciliation, like your pastor, he's Christ's ambassador to you. And so God has a plea to make with you through him. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That is, lay down your arms already. God is not out to destroy you, but to save you. Stop fighting and resisting him. He wants to give you life everlasting through the forgiveness of all your sins. In his Son, he is totally at peace with you. So you too be at peace with him. But if God did not charge our sin against us, who did he charge our sin against? Well, listen, verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This people loved by God is the sweet swap, God's great switcheroo. The Father takes the sinless Son, the Son who never said no and who always did his Father's will, and he makes him to be sin. That is, he charges him with your sin and mine and that of the whole world, loads it all up upon him, and Jesus owns it all, as though it were his, stepping into our place, though his was the only human life that had ever been completely devoid of sin. He steps into your place, bears your sin and its curse, so that you can step into his place, so that you can actually become in him the very righteousness of God. Listen to Chrysostom again. God allowed his son to suffer as if a condemned sinner, so that we might be delivered from the penalty of our sins. This is God's righteousness, that we are not justified by works, for then they would have to be perfect, which is impossible, but by grace, in which case all sin is removed. All sin is removed when God transfers it off your back onto his. All sin, every last bit of it. This is why St. John the Baptist could point to Jesus and proclaim, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And if on the cross all our sin is imputed to the Son of God, then in our baptism, when we put on Christ and are made a new creation, all of his righteousness, his unbroken yes to the Father, his perfect life of love is imputed to us. His cross pays for our sin in full. His baptism deposits in our account his own flawless obedience. That's how we become the righteousness of God in him. As the people of God contemplate this joyful and blessed exchange, they cannot but sing of it. What punishment so strange has suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him who would not know him. The sinless Son of God must die in sadness. The sinful child of man may live in gladness. Man forfeited his life and was acquitted. God is committed. This is the heart of the gospel's joy, and it is this which makes us be new creations in Christ. The anonymous epistle to Diognetus from the 2nd century marvels at it in these wonderful words. How surpassing is the love and tenderness of God. In that hour, instead of hating us and rejecting us and remembering our wickedness against us, he showed how long-suffering he is. He bore with us and in pity took our sins upon himself, the holy for the wicked, the sinless for the sinners, the just for the unjust, the incorrupt for the corrupt, the immortal for the mortal. For was there indeed anything except his righteousness that could have availed to cover our sins? Oh, sweet exchange! Oh, unsearchable working! Oh, benefits unhoped for! That the wickedness of multitudes should thus be hidden in the one holy, and the holiness of one should sanctify countless wicked. Isn't that awesome? That's where we're going to have to call a stop for today, people loved by God. Up next, St. Paul will use an odd word, synergism. That is, working together. That's what he insists the apostles do. They work together with God in extending the message of grace. They preach, but through their preaching, the Holy Spirit himself is at work to impart the gift of saving faith. And so Paul appeals to the Corinthians and us not to receive God's gift of grace in vain. We'll explore a bit about what that might mean. St. Paul is clear that you should buy now while the market is at the door. Now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. The day of grace doesn't last forever for individuals nor for this world. So we never want to delay repentance and bank on some tomorrow that may just not ever come our way. St. Paul will add that he and his co-workers do not put an obstacle in anyone's way. That is, anything that would keep them from hearing the gospel, repenting of their sins, and trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ as their very righteousness. No one can find fault with the way they conduct their ministry because they are operating as true servants of God. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.